What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Radiovania, episode number 118, your nerdy public radio for all things entertainment and pop culture. My name is Zach Rotello. Sitting across from me is booze-soaked John Swansong Parker.
Well, soaked is not the right term.
Well, we're like a couple of towels that you just wring dry, yeah, you know, you leave them up to dry.
I've mostly passed it all, so I think we're doing all right.
It's all gone. It's gone from the system.
Moving a little slow today. I'm more sore than anything. If anything, you should call me, like, decrepit.
The decrepit John Swansong Parker.
Yeah.
That needs a hip replacement.
I need a hip replacement. My ankle hurts. I got a sty on my eye. We're doing great.
But the parts that work still work.
Hey, read into that as you will.
Yeah. We're here. Deal with it. We recorded our Fast X review last night because we saw the movie last night, but we're here in sunny Cleveland, Ohio.
It's actually sunny. That's not even sarcasm.
No, it's beautiful. And so I got a couple hours left in this world before I depart it and head back down to Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. So we're doing a news doc episode. It's a light news doc. There's not a whole lot of big stuff to talk about, but we can talk about, you know, what's been goings-ons and stuff like that. It's going to be good. We got some fun stuff to talk about, I think. It'll be a good kind of like middle of the road. You know.
It'll be like the olden days when the pods were not 3.5 hours long because we just talk about random stuff over and over.
Exactly. They call it the ultimate rehash podcast.
This is called a Radiovania Classic Edition.
It's like Classic Coke, yeah.
Where we used to do like 5 newsies.
It's like, oh, what did they think about this? I think it's great. All right, moving on to the next topic.
Did you see this movie? Nope. All right.
All righty. But yeah, so thank you for listening. Check it out. As always, radiovania.com. Subscribe, like, share, do the whole thing. Review us. If you have a podcast platform that does stars, give us 5 of them. And if those stars are 10, give us 10 of them.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, recommend it to a friend. We also have a special letter that we have to read today. For the first time in a long time, we got fan mail.
First time, long time.
We got fan mail. So stay tuned for that later in the show. At Radiovania on Twitter, Radiovania Show on Insta, and then email us like a certain someone did at radiovaniashow@gmail.com.
Yep.
But yeah, we kind of touched on it. John, how are you doing? We recovered from last night, Fast 10. We saw it with Tahir.
Yeah, I tucked you into bed, made you pizza.
Didn't eat it.
You didn't eat any of it.
Forgot about it. Fell asleep.
I went to bed at about 2 in the morning, so moving a little slow today. But yeah, fully recovered from yesterday's events, however, still very much excited about how much of a good time we had seeing that movie, for sure. I'm looking forward to watching it again.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll go see it in the theater.
I don't think I
again,
will.
Just because there's so many movies coming out now that we're in summer season, but this would definitely be an at-home watch again for me when it comes back.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Fast 10, don't worry, you can catch all the spoilers that you want on the review show.
Correct.
On this, we'll touch on just our thoughts, like just spoiler-free, now that we've had a night to think about it. You had a dream last night. You had a Joker dream.
The Joker dream. Yeah, we can't talk about that.
Can't talk about that. All right. So yeah, that's about everything for the show. So John, what you been up to?
Okay, so I mean, the only thing since the last time we did a news talk is I've been trying to get the platinum trophy for Star Wars Jedi Survivor. I think the last time we checked in,
I
had not finished the story, and neither had you. But now we have both finished the story.
Yeah, and I don't even think on the last show you were like determined to get the platinum.
Correct.
I think you were just talking about
that's
like
a new thing because I'm broke, so I'm not buying Tears for the Kingdom yet. So I'm working on the game that I already own.
And I told him I'm going to buy it for him. If he gets the Platinum in Survivor and he still doesn't want to buy Tears of the Kingdom, I'm just going to buy it for him so we can talk about it on the show.
For sure. I did get to see you play Tears for the Kingdom a little bit yesterday.
You guys
while we listened to Aerosmith, and that was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I was on a floating sky puzzle while...
I could stay away.
It was pretty epic.
Hear you breathe it. Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun.
So yeah, Jedi Survivor. I think we kind of gave our spoiler-free thoughts on the last one.
Well, yeah, we had talked about it. I think I was like 10 hours in.
Yeah. Still a fun game when it works. When it works, it's great. When it doesn't, I get really frustrated. I have to replay stuff when it crashes. It sucks that it's not fully complete and up to spec, given the fact that it's 150 gigs of my PlayStation hard drive.
And $70.
And it still can't run better than Drake's Fortune remastered, you know what I mean? $70. I am thoroughly enjoying it. I think in terms of like gameplay, it's easily the most fun Star Wars game to play.
There's not even a question.
The story itself, I felt, was a little lacking.
Me too.
I think Fallen Order has a much, much tighter and better story.
Totally. And, I was so frustrated with the stories. Can we do like 5 minutes of spoilers?
Yeah, Jedi Survivor. Yeah.
So start your clocks now. If you don't want to have anything about the story for Jedi Survivor spoiled for you, go ahead and skip on about 5 minutes. I'll keep an eye on the timer.
Sure.
The twist at the end with Bode is the most
so obvious.
Frustrating, obvious twist I've ever seen in like a
when
narrative.
When you kill Dagon Gera and they pick up the compass and he's like, maybe we should just go right now. I was like, this guy's a bad guy. I was like, I already know. Like he's just immediately starts acting different. And you're like, he's a spy.
It's not just that. I guessed it from like the very beginning. Like, it's just like, oh, hi, new character. You're friends with Cal. And we're all buddy-buddy. And we want the same thing, too. It's like, this guy is so clearly a bad guy. Like, he's clearly going to turn at some point.
At the beginning of the game, I thought they were setting him up to be a romantic interest for Cal. Because they kind of, like, when they're on Coruscant, they kind of have, like, a little bit of a couple moments.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, this is actually really cool. And then they're like, no, he still likes that Night Sister. And I was like, damn. Okay, well, so.
But to be fair.
She's great. Yeah, I know.
And their relationship is good.
It's
and
fantastic.
Their stuff in the game is some of the best stuff. I think there's two great elements of the game. It's his relationship with Marin, right? Mm-hmm. And that whole scene when you're on the desert planet doing the warping around or whatever.
You mean Jeddah?
Jeddah.
The holy moon? God damn it.
Excuse me.
It's from Rogue One!
That scene is awesome, and her character stuff is great, and all that stuff culminating
when
she teaches
him how to do the Night Sister teleportation sequence is dope.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And then the other stuff that I think is 10 out of 10 is the stuff with Seer. And I think that is some of the best Star Wars content out there. Like
when you're fighting all the stormtroopers. Yeah.
Dude, when you pick up the lightsaber as Seer and you're just wrecking fools on that battlefield, it is the sweetest thing on the planet. And then the Vader fight scene, don't think we needed it.
I don't think we needed it again.
It's there.
I do like that he's hunting her, not Cal. I think that's interesting.
He views her as more of a threat.
That fight is hard.
It's very hard.
It's the hardest one in the game, which I think is...
I don't know. I was getting pretty fucked around by the Bode final fight.
Really?
Yeah.
No, for me, I lost to Vader like 30 times.
Really?
Yeah, I was getting my ass handed to
him. I think it took me 4 times to beat Vader, but Bode, I was like, I kept getting just clowned out. Just clowned out.
And just tossing you around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think the Seer moment is easily the best moment in the game, and I actually thought that was the end. So when I came down to see you a couple weeks ago, I finished that right before I drove down, and I was like, I know if I beat Vader, that's the end of the game. It wasn't.
there's like a good four more hours after that.
As soon as you take back over as Cal, I was like, I gotta go to Cincinnati. I'll finish this when I get back. And I think stopping after that, taking a weekend off, and then picking it back up really made me dislike the end of the game a lot too.
So you think that
because I was like, this is all gratuitous. Some of the stuff when you're in the Imperial base and like you put on the ISB uniform and stuff is cool. And
you learn
the dark side slow mo stuff. That's pretty tight, but it's nowhere near the highs of Seer defending the Hidden Path's temple. What did you think about the Hidden Path and the ties to the Obi-Wan show? Because that's the same network that. Ice Cube's son works in. I was fully expecting Kenobi to show up as soon as they started mentioning that, and I'm kind of glad they didn't.
I don't remember. No. Well, I don't remember any thinking like, oh, Kenobi.
Yeah, maybe it's just because I've seen it so much, but yeah, the Path is that network that they start to set up in Kenobi. You know, like they got that hidden room with all the etchings on the walls, and Obi-Wan's asking about how like Indira Varma's character has been helping shuttle refugees through this hidden network that we get to see where the hidden network is run from, which is Jeddah, which is where. So Seer was running that during the Kenobi show. Because this game takes place at the same time as Kenobi. So in the span of a week, Vader killed Seer Jundah and then went and got his ass handed to him by Obi-Wan on that moon. This is a tough week for our guy.
And you think this is before or after that?
I think this would be after the events of Kenobi, actually.
So he gets his shit rocked, goes back, gets his helmet fixed.
And then he goes and kills Seer. Yeah. I don't know. That's just speculation.
Yeah, it's interesting. To be perfectly honest, I didn't hear anything in the game and make me think of like, oh, this is Kenobi stuff. Like
just the name only is the Path and what they do.
Interesting. So. Yeah. No, I think the game is overall really good. I would probably give it like a 7 out of 10. If you can wait a few weeks, this game will be $50, and I think that that's a more appropriate price point. But now the Tears of the Kingdom is out, why are you buying this?
If you're a Star Wars fan, it's still worth getting.
But I would say that you should wait. If at this point, if you're a video game nerd and you anticipate playing Zelda, you could buy Zelda, and that game will work, no question, and you're going to spend 70-100 plus hours in that game. I think that that is a better investment of your time and money right now.
Sure, definitely.
And then wait until Survivor is like lower than $50.
Yeah, I'd probably give it like a 6 out of 10. I've had some really bad performance issues with it, and we've already talked about my day one game breaking glitch that I had to replay the first 3 hours. Given that entire experience, I wish it could be an 8. If it ran perfectly, it'd probably be an 8 for me just based off of gameplay alone. But for that reasons, I think I'm just going to have to give it a 6. It's a fun game that I'm glad I own. I just wish I didn't pay so much for it to run as poorly as it is.
Yeah,
so.
And that's why I say wait. If you can hold off, if you're a huge Star Wars nerd, buy it, play it. I'm sure you'll love it. But, like, man, hold off if you can. It's not worth.
Great opening, by the way, too. I don't think we talked
about that cool.
as much. The opening's really great.
The opening's cool, but for me, I didn't think that it got really kicked into gear until, like, I really do think that, like, the first stuff that really got me into it was you get Grease back on the team and you go to that next planet. Like, that was when I was like, okay, I'm enjoying the story now.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it just goes in different directions. But here's the thing that we'll cap it off on, because I want to talk about Zelda. Playing this game and having it have so many technical things makes me really frustrated in the fact that forever, right, I've been saying how badly I would want someone like Rockstar to take the Star Wars IP and make an open world game where you can choose if you want to be a Jedi, do you want to be a bounty hunter, a mercenary, do you want to do this, what cult do you want to follow, do you want to pray with the Jedi, or do you want to become a Mandalorian? It's like, imagine a game like that, and I'm just like, we are so far away from that ever happening in our lifetime that makes me a little frustrated, because if they can't get this shit to work,
I know.
I can't even imagine.
To be fair, though, EA, the license is up, so maybe we can hope that what's that game that's coming out? The Eclipse or something like that?
Star Wars Eclipse is the one from the studio that did Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls, and so it's a narrative, choose your own. It's like a choose your own adventure game. It's not like a. It's going to be more narratively focused.
Oh, okay.
Which I'm into.
Like Telltale?
It's kind of like Telltale. They're like really high budget Telltale games. Like what's the one that was on PS4? Detroit.
Oh.
Detroit Become Human. It's that studio.
That's cool.
So it's like what do you want to say to this person? Do you want to go left or right? Do you want to investigate this thing? So it's going to be a.
That sounds boring.
It's not going to be. If they're able
to run on walls.
If they're going to tell me a really cool Star Wars story, I'm in. But yeah, it's not the Star Wars game I want. I want action.
Knights of the Old Republic's been remastered for Switch. So
and they're working
Star
on
Star Wars game. Go get that.
They're working on a new one, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh. All right, cool.
So we'll see.
Tell me about Zelda.
Yeah, did we ever doubt? I mean, it's a great game. I'm loving it. I'm having such a great time. It's just...
When did it come out? 2 weeks ago?
May... 5th?
A week ago?
Or no, the 12th. It came out the 12th. So I've been playing it for about a week and some change. It's good shit, man. It reminds me how much fun it was the first time I played Breath of the Wild, like just experiencing the world. Tahir and I were kind of talking about it. Like, I still think right now I would... Or who was I talking about it with? I was talking about it with a coworker. It was Steve. That's right.
Shout out
to Steve. What up, buddy? I still think I like Breath of the Wild better because it was much more of a fresh experience. But this is just reminding me how good that game is. Like, these two games back-to-back, it's like... It's iterating on certain things. It's changing certain things up. It still feels like a completely fresh experience, but it is the same game mechanics. Like, you're crafting food and doing all this stuff and running around. You're still completing puzzles and shrines, basically. They call them different shit, but there's still Korok seeds. There's villagers to talk to, bosses to fight. The story is immediately more interesting than Breath of the Wild. In Breath of the Wild, it's like, oh, you lost your memory. Find out how you'll get your memory back.
And also Ganon.
And also the pig.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Tears of the Kingdom, it immediately sets up like a more interesting narrative about like, oh, something has happened and we have to figure out why it's happening. But it's like, it's not like Link's like,
can you tell
I don't
me
know where I am.
Can you tell me how long it is after Breath of the Wild?
I don't even fucking know.
They don't say.
They don't really specify. Like, it feels like it's been some time has passed.
It's the same Link, right?
Yes.
Or is this like one of those Zelda things where they're like, it's, who knows?
Yeah. No, it's the same Link.
You've heard those theories, though, where like all the Zeldas exist. Like, there are like subsets of like Majora's Mask and Ocarina of Time are in the same universe. But like Link to the Past is not in the same universe as Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like a multiversal theory with Zelda.
You can Google search the Zelda timeline or whatever, and it's like, I don't
have. I have a book that Kaylee got me when I graduated high school that's like, it tries to lay it out, and I'm like, this is fucking nuts.
It's nonsense. Yeah. I mean, like,
it's like looking up the Kingdom Hearts timeline. It's just, insane.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm not super invested in where it links up yet. Pun intended. It hasn't it hasn't done much of that. It touches Breath of the Wild very intimately, but like it's very much a direct sequel. It's like, this is the same Hyrule. This is the same shit that's going on. You're running into similar characters.
Zelda
is there at the very beginning. I won't say anything else besides that, but
I noticed from watching you play, you don't have your four divine abilities that you got from your friends, a bummer.
Yeah, the divine abilities are not there anymore.
They nerfed you. All your hearts are gone.
They do that too,
but apparently you get to keep your horses, so that's
apparently cool. But I can't fucking find a stable to save my goddamn life, so I don't know what everyone's talking about. That's the cool thing too, is that it is very much like bringing me back to those old feelings where it's like you would hear somebody be like, oh, did you know you can do this, and I'm like, no.
Yeah,
I did not know that I could do that.
Very cool.
Then you go and try it yourself. The only thing that I'm not crazy about in the game, which is the main reason I think I like Breath of the Wild better, is that it places a huge emphasis on the building mechanics in the game, which are not very intuitive to me. You have an ability that you hold L on the trigger for, and it's a mind telekinesis ability, basically.
Kind where like you the can, magnet.
Yeah, where you can pick up items and move them around. But in this game, you press A to attach them to other items, and you can use things together in conjunction, right? So it's like at the very beginning of the game, you're on a sky island. No spoilers there, really. You're on a sky island. There's the skies. They got skies in the game. And you can see on the other side of this water is a place you need to go. And it's like the game is like, okay, there's a tree over there. They kind of explain it to you. It's like if you hit this tree with this axe, it'll turn it into wood. And maybe you could fuse a couple pieces of wood together and make a raft. And then, there's these Zonai devices that are like these ancient technology things. And one of them is a fan. And it kind of just lays all these pieces out for you. And it's like, okay, I wonder if I put that fan on that wood, if it could propel me over that water. And sure enough, it does. But I don't like getting there.
Mm.
Like, I don't like how clunky it is to grab one thing, one effect. You got to carry it. Set it down, attach it, and then you got to turn it on again and grab the fan and put it on and angle it in the right way.
Yeah.
And then at one point, I was just like, it's just taking so long to fuse all this shit together. I put the fan on the boat, but it was like not in the direct center. It was like a little bit to the right, and I was like, that's probably going to be fine, right?
Spinning around.
I spin around in a fucking circle, and I'm like, God damn it, I got to get off this goddamn stupid-ass boat and do this shit all over again. So, yeah, I'm not loving the building mechanics. I just think it's a little clunky, but when the game focuses on combat and exploration, discovery, I think that's the shit that really works, but the building is just not for me. But I have seen some Twitter videos of people making some
pretty funny stuff.
Pretty funny shit, yeah.
That's awesome.
So
I'm excited to play it.
It's fun. I think you'll have a good time. I'm glad everyone out there, hopefully everyone out there is also enjoying Zelda, because it's a blast.
Yeah.
But that's really it for me. It's been Zelda and Jedi, but beyond that, we haven't seen any of, I haven't been to the theater, haven't really watched any new television. I've been watching Always Sunny.
Nice.
But like, there's been no. I've fall off Ted Lasso. I haven't watched any of the new episodes. I'm like four behind.
Wow.
I know.
That's a shame.
Not liking this season very much.
They should have stopped.
They should have absolutely
stopped. With that one season wonder.
If they did that, if the first season was just a self-contained single season of television, it might have been one of the best seasons of television ever. But
yeah,
they're dragging it out a little bit. That bums me out. But yeah, beyond that,
yeah.
Anything else you've been doing? Not really.
Not really, no. I mean, I've been watching Below Deck Season 4 still, so Gary's losing his goddamn mind. I don't know what happened. He got COVID, and now he's an asshole. But, yeah, that's about all I've been watching this new stuff. Yeah.
Cool. Well, let's take a trip, before we go to the news flashpoint, to the mailbag.
The mailbag. Man. We got mail.
Yeah. Do we have a theme song for them?
No, we just need the Blues Clues mail back.
Makes me want to wag my tail.
Mail. We got mail from somebody?
Okay, we did get mail.
Anybody I know?
We got an email from Julia Figler.
Oh, using last names.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Well, she said... email from Julia, sorry. Cut that. We got an email, so thank you, Julia, for writing in. Subject line, National Treasure.
She's great.
I know her.
Yeah.
Hey, she writes, "Hey, it's me, Julia. If you couldn't tell from my email address, I've recently found out that there is a National Treasure 3 in development and is expected to come out in November of 2024. In light of this, I'm formally requesting the Radiovania do a review of National Treasure and National Treasure Book of Secrets. I think everyone would really enjoy it. At least I would really enjoy it, and I'm basically your number one fan. I will leave you with the famous words of Benjamin Franklin Gates. I'm going to steal it. I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence. Thank you for your consideration." Thank you, Julia. Julia wrote into radiovaniashow@gmail.com just like you can.
Yeah.
And Julia wants us to review National Treasure and National Treasure Book of Secrets.
Yep.
I'm in.
National Treasure and review.
I think that we should absolutely do that.
Yeah. I think that we should also take it one step further and watch that show.
Oh, no. I've heard it's really bad.
Oh, I've heard it's really good.
Really?
Mm-hmm. From my family. Oh. And I trust their judgment. They like National Treasure.
Got canceled after one season.
Then that makes our job even easier.
That's true. Well, I think we should absolutely do a review of the two movies. I think that that's a great idea, Julia. I mean, like, I think National Treasure is one of my favorite movies of the 2000s.
For sure.
Like, unironically, I actually think that that movie is really great, and I don't understand why it, like, it does. I feel like it gets shit on by the pop culture sometimes.
It's just because of the Cage of it all, I think, where it's like, that was his era of being kind of kooky, you know?
Sure. But it's a great
movie. But now he's having, like, a renaissance and everything, yeah. So.
People are taking Nick Cage seriously as an actor again.
Yes.
But during the National Treasure era, it was like, he's trying to be an action star. He's not really an action star. Like, this is the same time he tried to be Ghost Rider.
Yes.
And that didn't work at all.
No.
But, man, National Treasure. I think the second one is still... it's good. It's not as good as the first one. But the first one is just such a perfect adventure movie. It feels more like Indiana Jones than Crystal Skull does.
At times, for sure. Part-time. I think the second one's really good, too, from the conspiracy theory of it all. They lean heavily into all the conspiracy theories and stuff, too.
Illuminati and...
well, more of just the fact about, like, the Queen of England bankrolling the Confederacy during the Civil War and it being tied to the City of Gold, and that's why the Confederates tried to kill Lincoln and, like, all kinds of crazy stuff.
It's wild, yeah.
And they talk about the JFK assassination with the Book of Secrets, so it's kind of fun. I think it'd be fun to rewatch both of them and talk about it for sure. But yeah, I love that first one. It's amazing. Yep. One of my favorite movie villains of all time, Ian. He's going to steal the Declaration of Independence, Ben.
It's a great cast. Like, everyone in that movie is really good.
Diane Kruger,
say John what you will Voight. About John Voight, but...
Helen Mirren's in the second one, and Ed Harris is also in the second one.
That's right.
They're great.
Ed Harris plays the president, right?
No, he's the bad guy.
He's the bad guy.
Yeah, Greenwood plays the president.
Bruce Greenwood. He's that guy, right? Bruce Greenwood is that guy.
Where you're like, oh, it's that guy. Because he's Captain whatever its face is in the first Star Trek movie, too.
Oh, yeah, he's... yeah.
That was his...
Yeah, band. Admiral yeah, Pike, right, or whatever?
Yeah, he's Pike, yeah.
Good movie. Good role for that guy, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, Julia, I love your idea. I'm in. Should we take it a step further and have her on the National Treasure review?
That's a good idea.
Because then we would have a majority rules about the rankings, but there's only two movies.
I was going to say, do we even have to rank them? I think it's not pretty obvious that it's going to be 1-2.
And then the show,
yeah. Unless, like, someone gets in their bag and they're just like, 2's better than 1. But that would be kind of wild. If anything, I think it'd be more better to rank something else within the universe. You know, maybe it's like a set piece, things like that.
Sure, yeah.
Puzzle. What's your favorite puzzle?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But yeah, I think it'd be fun to have her on if she's interested.
Well, thank you for writing.
But it seems like she's a number one fan, so maybe she just wants to...
maybe she just wants to hear us talk about it. Well,
we can talk about it. We'll start pre-production pretty soon.
We'll start pre-production because, yeah, we still have to do Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah, but I love it. National Treasure. Great movies. I love the original. I think that
it's... do you know what the preservation room is for?
Delicious jams and jellies.
No.
I brought you to the Library of Congress.
Who was shooting? Who were they shooting at? And why weren't they getting along? Harvey Keitel, what a legend.
That movie has an insane... That whole movie is basically quotable.
Hello, Ben. Welcome to New Jersey. What you need to see... I'm going to keep going unless you stop me. Is a shock and catch.
That's a great one, yeah. Oh, man. All right. Thank you for writing in, Julia. We appreciate the suggestion. We are going to do that very, very soon and start thinking about that. So... You see how easy that is? You want to boss us around?
You can literally tell us whatever.
RadioManiaShow@gmail.com.
Just a couple simps. We'll do whatever you email us.
All right, well, I think it's time to take a trip to the news flashpoint. This comes from Deadline.
We're so close to
the
flash.
Oh, we're close. Very close.
I got really excited for a second. You want to get nuts?
Come on. Let's get nuts. Is that premiering at Cannes? Are they showing The Flash at the Cannes Film Festival?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so.
I think that's just getting an LA premiere, probably.
Yeah.
From Deadline, Rick Dalton's dead. Quentin Tarantino has apparently closed the book on Rick Dalton, the actor portrayed by Leo DiCaprio in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Tarantino made the announcement via the Video Archives podcast, where he hosts with Pulp Fiction co-writer Roger Avery. Have you ever listened to that podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A series of tweets announced his death and indicated that Tuesday's podcast will be, quote, a memorial episode designed by Quentin that features some of Rick's best roles. So he passed away at the age of 90, the fictional character.
This Rick is Dalton. Insane. Tarantino, what's going on, bud?
This is step one in Tarantino losing his marbles.
I think it's funny, but I think it's like, we're gonna get into some weird stuff. Like, where what if Leo just becomes Rick Dalton? And that's his new name. He just stops being Leo. It'd be pretty crazy.
Yeah.
R.I.P. to a legend, though.
You know? R.I.P. to a legend, Rick Dalton is great. I just like that the tweets are like, he's survived by his wife, Francesca. It's like, man, it's pretty funny. Yeah, but pretty good, man. I mean, it's kind of heartwarming, the idea that you think about, like, he's the artist of these films or whatever, and in Quentin Tarantino's mind, the character in that movie lives on to have, like, a long, happy life with his wife.
Sharon Tate's still alive, probably.
I would imagine.
Cliff Booth, is he still kicking?
No comments on Cliff Booth.
No comments on Cliff's whereabouts. Probably because he killed his wife. He's still at large.
With the harpoon gun, yeah.
Yeah. Have you read the book?
There's a book?
Yeah, Tarantino wrote a book. My grandpa read it. He said it's awesome.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I might have to read that book.
It has more before the movie takes place, the entire movie, and then stuff after. But it's written by Tarantino, so.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
All those characters are more fleshed out, like including the harpoon sequence is fleshed out, all that kind of stuff. So.
I think this is a look into what a world without Tarantino directing is going to look like.
Him just shooting off in Pulp Fiction novels and stuff, yeah.
And, like, just coming up with weird lore shit like this. Now, like, the characters in my movies have passed away.
If he wrote a series of, like Elmore-esque Western novels about Django and Dr. Schultz, like, that montage sequence of them killing everybody and hunting them down, I would read 12 books about that kind of stuff.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, Tarantino, he said that his next movie, that we talked about it on a couple episodes ago, The Film Critic, he says that that's going to be his last movie. Guy, I hope that's not true. Please don't leave us, Quentin.
Could be pretty baller, though, if he actually sticks to his guns and does only do what he said he's going to do.
I guess
no one does that in Hollywood anymore, so that'd be kind of refreshing.
No, you either die the hero or live long enough to see yourself become Martin Scorsese. What's the worst case scenario?
He makes 10 movies and then he goes and starts directing TV.
He said that he likes Star Trek. And remember, there was that rumor that he was going to do a Star Trek movie. I don't think he would be bossed around enough to do a Star Trek TV show, because he wouldn't want to do it the way that Paramount would want him to do it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would be into him if HBO got him to direct, like, a season of True Detective or something like that. But again, I think Quentin's better served doing original IP.
What if Quentin's doing, like... Well, yeah, that's definitely true. If you had to plug him into one thing, though, what would you want? You said True Detective. That's a good pick.
If I had to, so I'm giving Quentin Tarantino step. And I, like, he gets to direct a movie in a franchise or a television show in a franchise. That's a great question.
I'll do you one step further. Why doesn't he just do that Lanterns show for James Gunn?
I don't want to work for DC. What is that shit? What is DC? That fucking sucks. I don't think he's gonna do a comic book movie.
Maybe some weird. What would you want him to do? I'm not saying what he would do.
Yeah,
that's
what
just
would
what I would want him to do?
If I had to force him to do it, man, I would love to see what he would do with a Star Wars movie.
Live action Tarzan for Disney.
Jesus Christ.
Star Wars would be cool.
Like, I don't know. He's an elevated director that makes elevated movies. Like, all of his movies are fucking just artful. I would love to see what he would do with that franchise because Star Wars has been playing it safe for a long time. And I would like to see someone do something different in that universe that's not The Last Jedi. Give it to an Artur, you know? Like, see what they would do with it instead of, like, we got to fit this into this. I'm starting to soften on the Taika. I've had enough of the Taika right now.
Hey, man, I'm writing my Star Wars script.
I'm going to star in it. It's going to be about me, and I'm going to star in it.
Don't give up on me now.
So speaking of Star Wars, Disney World's closing its Galactic Cruiser in September.
Wow. R.I.P.
This comes from CNN. Walt Disney World is closing down the Galactic Star Cruiser. The ultra-immersive, ultra-pricey bow to the Star Wars universe opened in the spring of 2022, so it lasted just over a year. Guests pay from about $4,800 to $6,000 per cabin for the immersive two-night experience, depending on the number of people in their party. When asked about the closing, a spokesperson said it was, quote, a business decision and did not elaborate, end quote.
A.K.A. Bob Iger came in and said, knock this shit off.
Bob Iger went in and went, whoa!
We are not making money off of this. Yeah.
So you as my resident Disney expert, John.
Sure.
Thoughts, feelings?
It's sad.
This is inevitable, right?
It was inevitable because it's way too expensive. It's way too expensive. The overhead, it seems like, for it was also just insane, which is probably why Iger was like, okay, only, you know, a select percentage of Disney park goers can actually afford this, and it's costing us more to keep it running than it is for us to actually gain any revenue off of it, so let's just not do it. The question I want to know is, what do they do with the hotel? Because it's already built.
So it's two separate things, right?
Yeah.
It's two separate things.
But it is attached to the back of the park, I believe. Because you can go to Galaxy's Edge from there, I thought. I don't know. I haven't been on it. And I probably won't. But
well, that's the thing. It closes in September. You're not feeling strong enough to spend the money to go do this before it closes.
The money that I don't have. Yeah, I'm definitely not going. So
I mean, you would have...
$10,000? Or no. It's $5,000 per cabin.
Depending on the amount of guests that you have. I think that on the low end, it's $4,800.
Family of four, $4,800 for two nights. No, not doing that.
Think of all the shit you could spend with that money. How much does it cost to go to Disney?
Oh, geez. I mean,
day pass to Disney World.
One park day pass on a non-holiday weekend is probably like $150 per person.
You could do that how many times over rather than spend one night in a starship?
Mm-hmm.
I can just close my eyes and pretend.
You could buy your own ship for that.
I could buy my own plane. Yeah,
I could buy a small country. I don't know, man. It's just like some of the stuff sounded really cool, but at the same time, I just don't know if this is a good like first step in them figuring out some type of overnight immersive experience. I'm glad they tried it out. Sucks for all the people that really enjoyed it, that were working for it. I hope they don't lose their jobs and just get reallocated in the park somewhere. But I don't know. It was never... I honestly would still rather just go to the park than stay in the hotel.
So. And I still really want to go to the park. So here's my question. Am I safe for a while? Because this year, I can't envision myself being able to have, like...
What do you mean, are you safe to go to Galaxy's Edge? That's not going anywhere.
You don't think so?
No, it's still that part of the park alone brings in so much revenue.
Really?
They're never getting rid of that. This is a very separate experience, not tied to your park pass.
Okay.
That was way too expensive. But yeah, Galaxy's Edge is, that's here to stay.
So I'm safe.
If anything, the only thing that would ever do is retheme it at some point.
Maybe not make it between 6 and 7. They're 7 and 8 or whatever.
It's between 8 and 9 right now. Oof. However, they've kind of softened on that because now Mando and Grogu and Boba Fett are walking around, and that's not during the same time that Rey and Chewie are fighting.
They're just like, it's whenever.
I think they're just they're kind of easing up on it, which is what people wanted them to do. The thing they need to get to the point of doing is just like get back to the originals, have Darth Vader walk around. Like, what are we doing? So.
What are we doing? That's a good point.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
That's another one. Can you imagine if we did Pirates in Review?
I can. I think the first three episodes would be fantastic.
And then it would just tank.
Do we have to do 4 and 5, I guess?
I haven't
seen
4. That's
what we're going to be doing with Indy. You realize that, right?
I know.
Stranger Tides and Crystal Skull are two of the worst installments in IPs that I love. So,
that's a good pod.
Yeah.
Worst installments in the franchises that you love.
Mm-hmm.
Fast Furious. Sorry, I totally broke there.
Are you okay?
I'm all right.
His brain snapped.
We have an update on the box office.
Oh, okay.
So we talked about this last night. We didn't have like hard numbers because the movie's still coming out, but it's Sunday, so news has been coming out today about the box office for the weekend, and they can kind of be a little bit more concrete on it.
Yeah.
Fast 10 raced to a North American debut of $67.5 million and a rousing $318.9 million globally. As the core franchise winds down. That's a promising start for the 10th installment.
One weekend.
It's seeing lower returns in the United States, so this movie made less opening weekend than Fast 9.
I think Guardians is probably contributing to that still. People still haven't gotten around to seeing that yet.
And Mario. Mario's still just kicking the teeth into these shit fucking movies.
Woohoo!
It's-a-me! Fast 10 cleared a huge $251.4 million in its international debut. Number 2 debut of the year behind Mario, and the number 3 global opening of the franchise behind Fate of the Furious and Furious 7. So, internationally, it's the top opening of 2023 so far.
That's awesome.
So, Fast 10, raking in the money.
Off to a good start.
Off to a very good start. But yeah, Fast 10, we did the review episode last night.
Yep.
Now that you've had a night to stew on it, you kind of think about it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not soaked in seltzers,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, I had the worst headache this morning.
I like how bad you say deal. we. I was well composed on that part. You're the one that was falling asleep. Remember when you were like, why did you let me put Fast 9 above Fast 5?
I do remember that, yeah.
That was great. Sorry to derail you there.
No.
What was your question?
What did you think about the movie?
Oh,
Spoiler free.
I think it's, if you're a Fast and Furious fan, you're going to love this movie. If you're a casual summer moviegoer, I think you would still have a good time, but you should probably see it with people that are fans of the franchise so that you can play off their emotions. That's definitely what Tahir did with us. I think it's awesome. Summer movie season is in full swing now.
Full swing.
Between Guardians and this, I'm all back and on going to the theaters.
So. Yeah. And it's cool. It's nice to know that we still have a few question marks coming up, right? Indiana Jones... Fucking
Spider-Verse is next.
Spider-Verse. Oh god.
Then it's Flash. Then it's Indy. So June has three of the most anticipated movies for me this year. Yeah.
Bing, 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 bing.
Yeah. I'm in total agreement with John. I really like the movie. I think that it's a fun two-parter, and I think that that's, you know, being as spoiler-free as possible. Just saying, like, they're setting up the end of this franchise. They've been pretty vocal about that, or at least Vin has been. So it's cool. It ends in a very interesting way. The movie itself is really good. It's really fun. The more I think about it, you know, Fast 9 has all that stuff with young Dom and Jacob, which I really like. I don't think this movie has that level of emotion.
No, this movie moves.
It moves. It's more of an action movie than 9. But 9 has a little bit more...
It reminds me a lot of like an 80s action movie where it's like charismatic villain, charismatic bad guy, other people around them, but it's kind of mostly that, and they're just chasing each other around the globe.
Yep. It's a very worldwide installment. Maybe the most since 7, right?
Like probably.
Abu Dhabi, LA, New York, or whatever. Yeah. Like, yeah. So.
Antarctica.
Yeah. Spoilers.
Yeah, well, whatever.
No, that's not it. But yeah, so Fast 10, go check it out. Fast X. X gave it to us.
X gonna give it to you.
They gonna give it to you. All right. Freaky Friday.
Freaky Friday!
Into the news that John cares about.
Yeah!
So Disney's going back to the world of Freaky Friday. A sequel is in the works to the 2003 body swap comedy that starred Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Two of my favorites.
Lohan and Curtis are expected to reprise their roles as mother and daughter who wake up one Friday and find they have swapped bodies. Elise Hollander is penning the script to the sequel. The Freaky Friday, the original, was based off of a book, Mary Rogers' 1972 novel, which I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then a Disney film. based off that book in the 70s,
And it grossed about $160 million globally. Different times, man.
Different time.
Different
very different time. I saw that shit in the theaters. I remember going to see that in the theaters. I've seen that movie so much. I'm all in on this, man.
Yeah. You know that? Curtis told the New York Times in a retrospective on the 2003 film that she continued to get questions about a Freaky Friday sequel while promoting her 2022 horror film, Halloween Ends. Quote, "Something really touched a chord. When I came back, I called my friends at Disney and said, it feels like there's a movie to be made," end quote.
I think that the fact that they're willing it into existence is what's kind of funny for me. I know that this is only on here because I wanted to bring it up, but I think it's really adorable that that Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis have maintained a working friendship since they made that movie when fucking Lohan was like an early teenager.
20 years ago.
20 years ago. So I think that's cute that they've stayed in touch and that they support each other through all this. And they're both experiencing a little bit of a comeback recently. So especially Jamie Lee Curtis coming off of the Oscar. So we'll see.
Oscar-winning actress Jamie Lee Curtis stars in Freaky Friday.
The Freakier Friday. What do you call it?
Scary sequel? Saturday.
Sunday Scaries.
Honestly, someone brought that up in a writer's room.
Yeah.
Guaranteed someone brought that up in a writer's room.
The question is, will they get Chad Michael Murray to come back? I hope so.
The question to me is, how long until we see this? Because right now, writer's strike.
Yep.
Stuff is getting on hold or not put into production, like, and this is still just a concept. It's like Jamie Lee's like, I want to do it. And Lindsay Lohan, I want to do it. I say we're not seeing this thing until 2025 at the earliest.
I agree.
I think we got 2 years.
I just hope it's a theater release because I want to go see it in Gateway.
You just unlocked a total fear. If this is a straight to Disney Plus Peter Pan and Wendy situation,
my concern is that it becomes a series. I would hate. At least make it a movie. Whether you want to release it direct to Disney Plus or not, that's your choice.
Please don't make it a television
don't make it
show,
a show.
Disney. Please don't make it a television
don't
show.
Don't make it a show. The whole premise is that it's a one-day body swap. You cannot do it.
You do an 8-episode season
about
Saturday.
One fucking
Saturday.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no thanks.
No.
So.
All right. In other movie news, Beetlejuice 2.
Yeah. We talked about this, though, on the last pod.
We did.
I have not seen Beetlejuice 1. Remember?
No, I don't remember this.
It's now on my
you
list.
You like Beetlejuice.
It's now on my list of things to do. Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we talked
about Jenna Ortega getting cast.
And now Michael Keaton is confirmed to reprise his role. That was officially confirmed.
He's Beetlejuice, right?
He is Beetlejuice.
What is Beetlejuice?
He's a
what
monster.
Did Beetlejuice do?
He's a monster.
Is he a zombie?
Yeah, he's kind of like a freaky zombie monster.
What's his thing? Like, what's he... What's
you really not know the plot?
I don't know what... No, I don't know what...
That's amazing. It's a Keaton movie. I figured you would have for sure seen...
You would think, but it's...
No, the whole premise is that they hire a ghost to, like, scare people. And he's like a...
He's the ghost.
He's the ghost.
They hire him?
Yeah, you can pay... It's like... It's weird.
It's a service?
It's yeah.
A ghost service.
It's like, we want to hire a ghost to, like, scare people away from this house. I think they're, like, selling their house or something like... Or, like, they don't want their house to be sold... So they hire a ghost to spook the house.
And it's Beetlejuice.
And it's Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. Say my name.
Is that how you bring him?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the other
big... I'm in.
It's a really funny movie. Keaton's really good in it.
Of course he is.
Jenna Ortega's coming, which I guess we talked about and I totally forgot. But the other...
She's Winona's daughter, right?
Yeah, she's going to be playing the daughter. But Catherine O'Hara is also confirmed to return. Justin Theroux is joining the cast. Who's... Monica Bellucci is joining the cast.
Who is... Catherine O'Hara's character.
She was the mom.
She's the mom. Winona's mom.
Yes, she was the mom.
Of Winona's character.
Of Winona Ryder.
Okay.
But she's coming back.
You know who else's mom she is?
Kevin! Yeah, that's right.
Shout out to the Holiday Draft when we almost broke up the band.
Over it.
Fucking bastard. I'm still mad about that.
But the other big, the next addition, which is just continues to make this cast really, really good, in my opinion, is Willem Dafoe is joining the cast.
Oh, that's cool.
So, I don't know. Did we need a Beetlejuice 2? No. But am I kind of intrigued at the possibility of this being good? Yes.
So, if Michael Keaton crushes it as Batman again, crushes it as Beetlejuice again.
It's the year of the Keaton.
Are we going to get Mr. Mom too?
Mr. Mom 2. Is there anything about that could be considered offensive in the year 2023?
Potentially. Yeah, potentially. Oh, well, I'm excited. Maybe I should watch the first one sometime.
Yeah. You should check it out. Speaking of the first one, with the second one on the way, The Bear, season 2. We got the trailer.
Hell yeah.
I know you're beyond excited.
June, big month for me.
Coming soon.
Big month for me.
Yeah, it's a John kind of summer.
You got Spider-Man, Batman, Indiana Jones, and The Bear all in the same month? Fucking hell, yeah. Yeah, the trailer dropped for season 2. So if season 1 is, I'm inheriting this restaurant, I need to keep it open. Season 2 is, how hard is it to open a restaurant? I think that's a great idea. I was worried that we'd just dive right back in and it'd be more restaurant shenanigans of them, like, it already being open. But I like the potential premise of them being like, hey, it's really hard to open a restaurant these days, post-COVID, all the drama that comes with that.
Sure.
It looks obviously very charming and funny while also being like endearing. So shout out to that cast. I just love that group of people. Yeah. It's amazing.
Not enough cousin in this trailer.
Welcome to the Burf. we need to get Burf shirts.
Burf, yeah.
Yeah.
Not enough of him.
No. But I'm glad, because I don't want them to ruin all the funny stuff. The best part of me for The Bear is that I didn't know anything before I watched it. So even seeing this trailer, like, I'm done. I don't want to watch another trailer if there's a second one. I just want to dive right in.
Yeah, I'm really excited. The big thing for me in this trailer is they don't reveal the whole...
There's no Odenkirk. We also don't know what the Bear restaurant's going to look like at all, because they don't show it yet, which leads me to believe that we might not see that until the end.
They tease it the whole time.
I'm still hoping and predicting that this will happen, but I think there will be one flashback episode that is just Bernthal running the original beef with Cousin without Carmi in it at all.
Someone's going to need to hose you down.
Someone's going to have to fucking, yeah.
Pry you out of your chair.
Peel me off the floor. Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah, so I'm excited. The Bear. It's a good month. I mean, June's shaping up to be a fucking... I mean, I hope it's all bangers, you know?
Yeah, if all four of those hit for me, personally...
What a great...
You can just take me up. Take me up.
Matt John. And then on the darker side of things...
Damn.
Marvel sets premiere dates for Loki season 2 and Echo.
Oh, Echo. Is that this year?
That's still happening. Yeah, the season 2, Marvel, Kevin Feige announced that during the Disney upfront on Tuesday, which I don't know what that is. Season 2 premiere of Loki will debut October 6th. Wow. And then a month later, all episodes for Echo will release at once on November 29th.
Good. I'm glad they're not staggering that out over multiple weeks. Because that's the... That's a show that I can guarantee it, unless you binge through it, you might not finish it. You know what I mean? So
I might not start it.
And I don't know. It's supposed to have Daredevil in it and the Kingpin. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
I like those characters. Yeah. So.
If it has the Daredevil and the Kingpin, I guess I got to watch it.
Yeah, it's going to be... It's a born-again primer, so...
I'm hoping... I'm going to stay optimistic for Loki. I think that first season was great.
It's going to have... What are they going to do about Jonathan Majors?
We have no fuck. His stuff's all been filmed,
I guess, yeah.
So it's like, that's going to be the butt, but it's like, do they write something in? Is there a pickup shoot? That's a good point. They can't. Yeah, we're in an interesting time right now, Kevin.
The bomb is rolling down the hill and it's on fire.
Kevin Feige's taking semi-biweekly trips to the top of Tibet or whatever to go pray with the monks.
He's just mainlining Xanax at this point, yeah.
He's speaking to the demons. He's trying to figure out. He's making pacts with every. He's about to call Morbius.
He would shed hair if he had any hair to shed.
And I don't envy the role that he's in. No, I think they're probably dealing with.
Imagine
a lot
going
of shit
from
right
the top of the mountain to being like
just kind of a laughing stock.
Fight for everything that you wanted to originally have. It's probably really disheartening, because on paper this should have been able to be self-sustaining for forever. But you make a couple wrong decisions with overload of content because of the streaming service, and now you're at a point where you're kind of, no one trusts what you're putting out. Because let's be honest, Guardians was not a win for Marvel; it was a James Gunn win. Like, because that movie would not have been as good unless he came back.
the general sentiment around Guardians and where Marvel is at right now is that people are saying, like, well, Guardians 3 was good, but we kind of expected it to be good because it was James Gunn, but I still don't believe in the franchise right now.
Because it has nothing to do with anything else in Marvel. Yeah.
And so that's not good. That is not where it's I think you sign. Were hoping. I think it's Kevin Feige was hoping, like, this movie would come out and it would be like, oh, see, we can make really good movies.
I do really, really want Loki Season 2 to be good because I really enjoyed the first season quite a bit. It's easily the best show that they've had. In my opinion.
Yeah. I still like WandaVision better, but they're close. They're both close.
They kind of squandered some of the WandaVision stuff, though, with Multiverse of Madness, unfortunately. So it's kind of hard to revisit that, I think. I hope Secret Invasion's good, though, man. Like,
Samuel
Jackson is really charismatic. I'm excited to see a Nick Fury-led property in Marvel that has never happened before, right?
June 21st is Secret Invasion, so another thing in June.
That's the same weekend as The Bear, so it could just watch both. That could be our next in review. Yeah.
Secret Invasion is a mini series, but I think it's like so coming out episodes. Weekly. I think it's going to be another one of those weekly shows.
It has a great cast in it. I mean, the premise of Secret Invasion is a really great comic book. If it's adapted really well into a cool spy thriller show, I'm hoping it would be good, but it's just the fact that it's a show.
I just don't want it to be a show.
Not excited about any of the Marvel shows besides Daredevil.
No, I am not. All right, we're moving quick because we got a couple big things left that we got to do before tummy hungry.
Yeah, me hungry too.
From Hollywood Reporter, Searching for Superman is the article title. You can go check this out, Google Searching for Superman. I'm not going to read this whole article because it talks a lot, but this is an exclusive from Hollywood Reporter, and they talk about this is the first bit of rumors of casting. In the James Gunn DCU. Shortlist of names bubbling up for Clark Kent, Lois Lane, and Lex Luthor.
The big ones.
The big ones. David Cornsweet, who recently played the ill-fated projectionist opposite Mia Goth in Pearl, which you haven't seen Pearl or X, right? Okay, so David Cornsweet is among the top contenders to play Kent, a.k.a. Superman.
He's in Wing on the City, though, as a cop. Oh, okay. That's where I've seen him before.
Got it.
Yeah.
I've not seen that. The two other contenders may also be in the mix, but their identities remain unknown. Jacob Elordi, the sought-after star who broke out as the resident villain on HBO series Euphoria, is another name that has surfaced for the role of Kent, but sources say he never submitted himself into the ring.
Yeah.
Tom Brittany and Andrew Richardson were also in the early mix, two British guys. As for Lane, contenders have been Emma Mackey, one of the stars of the Netflix series Sex Education, who will appear in Warner Brothers' Barbie.
She's in Death on the Nile, too, right?
Yeah, is she? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I like her. She's a great actress. I think she'd be fantastic. She's a little bit older. I remember we were saying Jenna Ortega would be really good, but I think she's a little too young.
Jenna Ortega is very young for it, yeah. But I don't know. They seem to be going young. Rachel Brosnahan?
Yeah, from Marvelous Ms. Maisel. She would also be really good, but she's too old for the Supermans that they're trying to cast. So they're trying to find that balance where they're all the same age, which I think is going to be... You know, it'll be good for the long run, but yeah, it makes casting a little bit harder of a job.
Yeah. And then there's two other ones, and the last one is my favorite, but seems to be out of the running, which is Phoebe Devanor, who I don't know, and then Samara Weaving, who I love. She's in Ready or Not, which is one of my favorite horror movies decades. Yeah. It's so fun, and she is so fucking charismatic. Yeah. I don't understand why she's not getting more roles. Like,
yeah.
I love Samara.
There's somebody that's taking all the roles from her. It's gonna be
Margot Robbie.
Yeah, it's the Brendan Fraser thing where it's like Brendan Fraser was just getting pounded in the role claiming by like Matt Damon in the early 2000s.
So. Yeah, one role that seems to have only one person earmarked is the classic villain Lex Luthor. Nicholas Holt, currently starring in vampire comedy Renfield, has been tipped to play the bald-headed evil genius. Holt's name has been swirling around for Legacy for several weeks now, with some theorizing he was up for Superman. The actor had previously had a close call with the DC movie realm when he was the runner-up to play Batman for Matt Reeves, with the role going to Pattinson.
Yeah, thank God. I like Nicholas Holt, though. I think
me too.
After The Menu,
he's so good in The Menu.
I could see him being a Lex Luthor, kind of having a little bit of a darker side. That's the first time I've seen him be kind of a shitheel, but I don't know, man. I'm still not in on these young Lex Luthors. He's right there.
If you're going for a Smallville vibe, I think you're trying to capture the essence of Rosenbaum.
Yeah.
But you can't cast Michael Rosenbaum.
Why not?
too old.
Doesn't matter how old Lex Luthor is. It's they need Lois and Superman to be similarly aged. Otherwise, you get into some weird situations there. It doesn't matter how old Luthor is.
But it wasn't the thing was that they grew up together?
Well, in some iterations, yes.
I'm assuming this is going to be that iteration. They want them to be like-minded individuals that have grown up together that are on the same playing field.
Okay.
I think if anything, you could have Rosenbaum be Lex's dad.
Lex Sr. I like that. Okay. As long as he gets in... I mean, he's going to be in the DCU in some
because he and
fashion,
James Gunn are buddy buddy.
James Gunn are buddies, but I don't know if I'd want him squandered on just being Lex's dad, unless that's a prominent role. Maybe he's Perry White. That would be kind of cool.
That would be interesting.
Maybe he's Pa Kent. That would be interesting.
Oh, I don't know.
It's going to be a tough act to follow, Costner being Pa Kent, just saying.
Yeah, what? Talk about... Man of Steel was good.
Yeah, Russell Crowe and Kevin Costner are two dads.
You are my son. That's
the best part of that movie is the two dads. Yeah. So good.
My two dads.
My two dads and Zod.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't really know how I feel about any of this cast so far. I mean, it's like, it's cool. I like Nicholas Holt, but like they're going for the unknowns. I think that that's a smart decision. No one knew who Cavill was. I had seen him in Immortals, but that was the only thing I had seen him in. And yeah. Then Superman, I thought that Cavill was a great Superman. I just think
he is. He'd never got to reach his full potential.
Exactly. It's so depressing.
By the time he did, it was in the Snyder Cut, and that's unfortunate. So
very unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best he's been as Superman, though, is in that those 10 minutes that he's Superman in that movie. It's great.
Not impressed. That's a lot for the movie.
I know. I've seen it.
But yeah, so Superman casting, we'll see. That's gonna be big though. In the next, I think they're gonna try and make this like the face of the DCU.
Yeah, for sure.
They want this to be like their Superman for years.
I can't stress enough how good the movie has to be.
It has to be good.
It has to be good.
And I think it's going to be good. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be this amazing paradigm shifting superhero epic that I think that a lot of people are hoping it's going to be? I don't know.
I don't think it has to be an epic. It just has to be a really well-told Superman story, which we have not had since the 70s. You need to make us care about the person, not the world. And that's the problem with Man of Steel for me, is I don't care about Clark Kent in that movie as much as I care about this is really cool and Krypton and seeing this version of Krypton. I need to care about why is he doing what he's doing? And they never established that in the DCEU until it was too late.
Yeah, Man of Steel is a great movie, but it's made up of amazing moments that aren't like really built upon or earned. And that's, I think, that, like, execution is not Zack Snyder's specialty. Like, he has great ideas and motifs, but like he doesn't know how to properly get there.
No heart.
Yeah, and so it has moments where you think that, oh, it might get there, where it's like young Clark Kent, the saving of the kids on the school bus, all the stuff with his dad, the bullies. Yeah. It's like there's moments of brilliance, but I think the movie overall is just like, it frustrates me that it's not like this masterpiece, because I think that it's so close. Mm-hmm. That moment where all the TVs turn off and go to static and then it's Zod giving the message to the people. It's
We're
like,
see that again in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I know, but that moment is so fucking cool, and it's like Superman shows up on the military and he's like flying. Yeah. I'm like, why isn't this movie a 10? It should be a 10. It's like a 7.
I want this Superman movie to be... I want to feel like I'm watching the Dick Donner movie with better pacing, essentially. So like I want it to have that heart and that happiness and the bright colors and the believing in Superman being able to go from having one scene where he's saving a cat out of a tree and making some kid's day to then fighting a robot or something in space.
And that, I think, is where James Gunn will step in. Correct. And give his sort of flair, because I do think that a Superman movie needs to be a little bit more playful.
This guy made a talking raccoon and a tree work. I think he can figure out Superman. It's not an easy task. I should not say that it's easy.
Is Legacy based on any comic book? Like, does that harken to anything?
Well, they said that it's going to be kind of loosely based on All-Star Superman, but All-Star Superman is the last Superman story. So I think they're going to touch on the elements that are brought up in All-Star Superman without the actual plot developments.
What do you mean by the last?
He does.
Really? Okay.
So they're obviously not going to do that. But that is about him coming to terms with tying his Kryptonian heritage to his earthly heritage.
Okay.
And reconciling some stuff with Lex. So.
And what do you think about eventually there being like James Gunn building all this shit up to get like a Kingdom Come movie?
I think that'd be great. I think I would love nothing more than to do that at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got a lot of work in to get there, though.
Yes, definitely. Sorry, I think.
Plug in my.
No, you're good. I think in order to get to Kingdom Come, you have to have a franchise that is running on its own for quite some time before you can think about doing that. Because Kingdom Come, Superman, Bruce Wayne, and Diana are all extremely old, and they're starting very fresh right now.
With
younger cast. So, at least for Superman. We don't know how young he's going to try to cast Batman and such, but.
Okay. All right. That's Superman.
Oh, yeah.
We got two more things to talk about, and then we can do the draft.
Yep.
Cannes Film Festival premiering.
Cannes.
It's like...
It's French, right?
Yeah.
Cannes Film Festival.
The Cannes Film Festival.
Merci.
Prestigious time for movies. I really like all the discourse that's been happening about the applause, like the...
How long you get a standing ovation for?
How long you get an
Remember
ovation
for? Remember when Don't Worry Darling had an 11-minute standing ovation because people were just like, this shit show. They did it.
I'm just hitting my hands
Harry
together
Styles
quickly.
Spitting on Chris Pine. Yeah. And, yeah.
So, big showcase for movie premieres. The two big ones that have happened so far are Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny and Killers of the Flower Moon. Yep. Those seem to be the two mainline event things. The summer blockbuster indie movie with Harrison Ford, he got an honorary Palme d'Or, so recognized for his work in the franchise and in the film
and
history.
Life. Yeah.
And life. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny comes out to a 5-minute standing ovation. And right now on Rotten Tomatoes is sitting at a 52% with 29 reviews.
That's not that many.
Not that many.
I bet it climbs above 60 by the time the actual movie comes out. Those are just a bunch of French people that don't understand American pulp cinema.
If by French people you mean someone named Rory O'Connor or Donald Clark. These are
movie snobs.
But these are critics.
They're
movie snobs. But I mean, like, you know, again, like we
Indiana
have to remember.
Indiana Jones is not for movie snobs. People hated Raiders when it came out. They panned it.
I mean, as always with Rotten Tomatoes, because I want to talk to you about how you're feeling about Dial of Destiny.
I'm still excited.
I know. We always have to remember that this means that 52% of those 30 people, so 15 people recommended you see this movie.
Yeah.
That's what that means.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean it's 52% good. It means that half of the people that saw it at Cannes recommend that you see it. And I think that when you put it into that context, it makes a little bit more sense. It does bum me out that it's not like overwhelming critical praise, because I think that it should be.
No one cares.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Hit me with your biggest...
I want to see when the American embargo lifts. The people that are actually here for Indiana Jones. That's when I think we'll actually get a better taste of what it is.
I mean, these are American film critics, though. These are people from all over that are just going to the film festival.
But these are people that are going to Cannes Film Festival to see, like, the next Roma and shit like that. You know what I mean? They're not in the bag for Indiana Jones.
Sure.
You're saying you wanted it to be universally
Yes,
loved.
I want... But
I
here's
don't
the
care
thing.
About that.
I know that you don't care, but the thing that I was hoping for is that you have James Mangold attached to this project. He made Logan. Mm-hmm. Logan is like at a 90-something percent on...
Walk the Line. But he also made Night and Day.
He did make Night and Day.
A movie I like, but it's not for everybody.
Sure.
Cameron Diaz, shout out. Come on the pod.
I was hoping that this was going to be like expectations for this were really high for me. Now I'm tempering them. That's basically where I'm at.
Okay. You're not gonna like it. I'm gonna like it. We're gonna argue, and it's the same old song and dance that we always do. So
I want to like this movie,
yeah,
though.
That's what you always say. That's fine.
If
stop looking at the numbers and start listening with your heart. I don't fly it with my head, boy. I watch Indiana Jones in here, not up here.
I'm really excited. I'm still very excited for the movie. I think my expectations have just been lowered from, I think that this might be like a masterpiece, like a Logan, to just, if it's as entertaining as the first three, I'm in. If it's worse than Crystal Skull, hoo boy. But I don't think it's going to be.
Do you think it's going to be better than Rise of Skywalker? Because Lucasfilm needs a in-theater win.
I think, yes, it will be better than Rise of Skywalker.
Do you think it'll be more profitable? I think it will be.
How much money did Rise of Skywalker make?
It did not make as much as they were hoping. It's the only one of the sequel trilogy that didn't crack a bill. But it made a decent amount of money.
It made $1.07 billion.
Yeah.
Worldwide.
Worldwide. Yeah. Worldwide. But the other two cracked a build domestically, I think. Or at least Force Awakens did. But that was for obvious reasons.
Force Awakens, $2
billion. Yeah.
So Last Jedi only made $300 million more dollars than Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
So, but up, but up, but up.
So the question is, will this be back up?
Yeah. I don't think so. I don't know if Indiana Jones is a billion-dollar franchise.
Pandemic anymore. Returns, it's going to be harder to do. Yeah.
We'll see. Spider-Verse will be in theater still. They're still going to somehow be showing the Mario movie.
Probably. Yeah. But yeah. There's nothing right after this that is as big as that, I don't think. Unless, because I don't remember when Mission Impossible comes out, but...
Mission Impossible.
And then Oppenheimer and Barbie aren't until the 21st.
Of July.
Yep.
Oh, God, I can't wait for that. Yeah, if the buzz is good, maybe. Maybe it's like... But it's like, this isn't what they want. Here, like, to put it into context, that's not like what I'm hoping for the movie. This isn't what they wanted. They didn't want news stories coming out for weeks before this movie comes out saying, like, critics are divided on Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. They were hoping for Harrison Ford hands it a home run and leaves Indiana Jones at the top of his game. And this is a franchise that everyone loves. It's like, it's okay. That seems to be the review. Like, did you read any of these things?
No, I don't want to know.
Well, Cal posted that one. That's harsh.
Yeah.
That's harsh to some, but it's like, it play, quote, plays just like another episode in a romp. That's what someone named Donald says.
Donald.
Jason writes, fine fan fiction.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
Quote, when it works, it's excellent. When it doesn't, you still revel in the companionship of old friends. Hmm. Dial of Destiny proves it's possible to keep alive the anti-authoritarian flame and passion for knowledge that lies at the heart of this immortal saga. These are all positive reviews, by the way. None of these are rotten.
Yeah.
Quote, the damn thing is fun. Mangold may not have young Spielberg's flair for extravagant action, but he does a tighter, leaner director using a tighter frame and keeping his camera close.
Cool.
These are all positive reviews. Indiana Jones is a bold, bright, and blazingly fun reunion for our favorite hero. I think they were hoping that all of it was going to be like that. But then you have these rotten reviews that are like really ripping this thing apart. This is a rotten review. Dial of Destiny shows that some relics should just stay buried.
Jesus, that's harsh.
So there you go. That's Indiana Jones. I'm very curious to see where it lands and what the overall perception is from the public.
Sure.
Moving on to the next thing,
yeah,
which we can just touch on really quickly. Killers of the Flower Moon.
Hell yeah.
I know you're excited about this. I like the trailer. The trailer came out.
Can you spot the wolf in this picture?
I'm into it. I'm really excited to see how this movie turns out.
Yeah.
Sitting at a 96% after 27 critic reviews. So overwhelming positive. I read some article, I think it was Empire, a reviewer from Empire said that it's Leonardo DiCaprio's best performance. So I think that this is
Oscar.
Your new Oscar double-time winner, Leo DiCaprio. I can already see him holding the two statues.
Sorry, Matt Damon, that you're not going to be able to win for Air anymore. Yeah,
that's best supporting.
He's the lead of Air.
Really?
He can't be supporting unless they cheese it, which would be stupid.
How funny would it be if Ben Affleck won for that movie and Matt Damon didn't?
That'd be awesome. You got to watch it, man.
I will. It's on my list. I'll probably watch it this week. Yeah. So yeah,
I'm excited for Killers of the Flower Moon, a book by David Gran that I read last year. Can't recommend the book highly enough. If you want to get into reading nonfiction, but it's not necessarily your cup of tea, I think David Gran's a great scribe that is able to kind of make nonfiction appear to be more narrative focused, which is, you know, for people that have trouble getting into like history books, which I know there are some people that are. That would be a great recommendation. He also wrote Lost City of Z, so very similar kind of stuff to that. But yeah, big cast for this movie, big undertaking, passion project from Scorsese, but hopefully better than like Silence, which was another passion project of his.
This seems like it's going to be better. This seems like it's going to be like a Scorsese movie that like feels like a Scorsese movie, which is my problem with, and I still haven't watched it, but like this movie looks great. Like the visual style, it looks like it was shot by like a modern person.
Do we ever find out who that was?
I did not. But like,
yeah.
What is it? Gangster Squad or what was the last one? The Irishman.
Gangster Squad.
But not.
How dare you? You haven't even seen The Irishman yet. You've owed me that for years. Years. You haven't even finished Daredevil. You're a terrible friend.
Rodrigo Prieto is the
The director. The cinematography is just inherently also going to look better because this is filmed out on like the plains, and it's a Western, and it's going to look beautiful as opposed to The Irishman, which is in like small little mom and pop restaurants and city streets and stuff like that. But
sure.
Yeah, no, it looks fantastic. The premise is great.
Origins of the FBI.
Murder mysteries and the origins of the FBI.
The guy that shot this movie is the same cinematographer for Brokeback Mountain.
Hell yeah.
In 2005, Babel in 2006, Argo in 2012, and The Wolf of Wall Street. So,
hell yeah.
Wolf of Wall Street is one of the most beautiful looking movies about terrible shit I've ever seen. So if this movie is more like Wall Street, I'm in. I'm so in.
It's not going to be like Wall Street. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that
in
right
terms
now.
Of tone and like the action. Like
it's going to be dismal. The premise is awful.
Yeah.
It's awful.
But The Wolf of Wall Street is also an awful premise, but it's visually so it's captivating. Sure. You're watching it. Like, I don't know, for whatever reason, like looking at the trailer for The Irishman, it's just like a bunch of old ball sacks.
It's the CGI in The Irishman is what holds it against itself. This, Robert De Niro is playing somebody that's actually his age, so that's great. Leo's going to be fantastic. Jesse Plemons is actually going to be fantastic.
Can't wait for Mr. Plemons.
Because Plemons' character is actually the protagonist of the book. And he's fourth billed in this movie, which is insane. But I think that's a good little, like, subvert tactic
there. Get him in there. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. Okay, cool. Yeah.
I'm hoping this is a Scorsese slam dunk that he can kind of ride off into the sunset on. Because I like a lot of his movies quite a bit. But to me, the peak of his directing has still been Goodfellas, which was back in 1990.
So. I think that this is going to be a big one for Scorsese. 11-minute standing ovation at Cannes.
11 minutes. Wow.
My favorite tweet was someone was like, no one has been able to stop. Send an ambulance. Someone from the Esquire barfed on my shoes. My hands are clapping. I can't feel anything from the elbow down.
So funny.
Yeah, so there you go. That's it. That's the news flashpoint. We did it.
Oh, yeah.
So now, fast draft.
Fast draft. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, you thought we were done talking about the Fast and Furious? You were wrong. So as a fun little end capper to our Fast Cast saga that we've been doing, and until we see Fast X Part 2, Zach and I wanted to do a draft. We haven't done a fantasy draft in a little bit.
Yeah, it's been a few
weeks. When was the last one that we did?
I think the last one we did...
Holiday draft?
Music draft.
Music draft. Oh, God. That's why I don't remember.
You can go back and listen to that episode.
You can, if you want, at your own risk.
If you dare.
So, pretty much what we're going to do is where the draft pool is characters from the Fast and Furious movies. All movies, including Hobbs and Shaw, are on the table, as well as Fast X, since we have seen it. The only thing I will say, Zach, is if you draft somebody from Fast X, try to not get too spoilery. But
sure.
I think that doesn't really matter because we're not going to talk about plot beats as much as it is like character traits if you were to pick one of those people. But we're going to go back and forth like we always do. And then our draft board is as follows. I thought that this was pretty funny. We're just drafting the monologue from Fast 5, which is we need two precision drivers, one chameleon, one fast talker, circuits, demolition, utilities and weapons is one spot. And then you wanted to add a villain, which I think is great. So,
great idea.
The rules are as follows. You cannot slot a member of the Fast family into the villain role unless they were a villain in one of the movies. But you can slot one of the villains into the family roles if they have since not become only a villain. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
And then don't cheese it and try to shove somebody into a role that they don't belong. Like, Dom is good at everything, but he shouldn't be like your circuits pick.
Yeah, he's a driver.
You know what I mean? He should be a driver or maybe utilities and weapons at best, but mostly driver. So that being said, do you have any other questions for the draft board itself?
My only question would be how are we deciding who goes first?
I'm going to flip a coin.
Okay, let's flip a coin. Yeah, that works for me.
We grab a coin.
Just total random.
Totally random. Although I've gone first on the last many of these, so maybe you should flip the coin.
Wow, this is a big-ass coin.
It's a 50 center.
It's a half dollar. From 2022? They're still making these?
Yeah.
Get your shit together, government.
All right. JFK.
Call it in the air?
Yeah.
Tails.
Tails never fails.
So I'm first.
You're first. Or you could defer.
What happens if I defer?
Then I go first.
What if I defer?
Because we're not snake drafting. We're just doing one after the other, right?
Right. If I defer, can I have the first pick in whatever the next draft is? If it's just the two of us, not with Cal.
Are we going to remember that?
Yeah. I won't forget that.
Then it's up to you. If you want to go, if you don't want to defer, then I guess you could take the next pick in the next draft. But that seems...
How about we make this juicier? If I defer, you got to buy my beer this afternoon.
I would rather just have you go first.
I think you're going to like what we're going with this anyway. So there's an obvious number one overall pick. But I don't want him on my team, actually. I have to be true to my roots and who I am. And I am actually going to take Brian O'Connor as one of my precision drivers, first of all. I love Dom. I think he's the clear number one pick. He's great at everything. But I personally would be really sad if I didn't get him. So I want to take that first, and I'm slotting him into one of my precision drivers. I think he's great.
And I'm taking Dom.
Yeah. So let's just go ahead and let's just talk about that.
But the interesting thing is that I actually, if I had the first pick, I probably would have taken Brian because I think he's a better character.
He's a great character.
This is a draft for fast, like in terms of like, you know, you're building a team.
Yeah.
But I'm also just drafting these characters in terms of the people that I like.
Exactly. I want to be at a barbecue with the people that I like by the end of this draft.
And I would prefer to have Brian on my team. If I'm choosing between the two of them in terms of all aspects,
yeah,
Brian is the clear number one winner to me. Great relationship with Mia. He's clearly a good father.
Yep. Loves tuna melts.
Tuna melts, no crust.
He'll eat whatever as long as it keeps him from, you know.
I forgot to eat tuna yesterday, by the way.
I'm glad we didn't do that. The shrimp was so good.
The shrimp was really good.
Yeah, let's talk about... But Dom, obviously.
Yeah, I mean,
indestructible.
Dude is a monster. He's basically the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
He gets more superpowered with each movie. In this last one, he drives through fire.
Multiple times, I think. Yeah.
He also plays putt-putt. Spoilers.
Yes.
He plays putt-putt with a car, which is pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Watch the movie. And, yeah, he's really, really good. So, I don't know. Yeah, I'll take Dom. I mean, he's the leader.
Okay. Yeah, I think these are the two obvious first picks, right? So
now where we go is interesting.
So I want to go with Deckard Shaw in utilities and weapons is where I'm going to take him.
Okay.
So I'm going to take Deckard Shaw with my second pick.
Now here's
I think Deckard Shaw is awesome. I think as soon as Statham showed up into the franchise, they had a really fun, unique character on their hands. Obviously, he gets his own movie with Luke Hobbs, which is pretty cool. But yeah, I'm taking Shaw, Deckard Shaw, Mr. Statham himself. Dominic Toretto. So where are you going to go? Were you expecting that at all? No?
No, I didn't think he would.
I think
go
I've
that
been
early.
Soft selling my love for Deckard Shaw recently so that I could steal him so early in this draft, but
maybe. See, I could go one of two ways here.
Yeah.
I could go one of two ways. And I hate to do this to you, buddy, but I'm taking Letty.
You fucker!
I'm taking Letty.
Yeah, that was gonna be my next pick. That's a good choice.
She could be a precision driver. I'm trying to think. Like, she's definitely not a fast talker. But
she could be a precision driver or utilities and weapons, I think, or even maybe potentially, a chameleon, maybe. Mm. But I don't know. I feel like having amnesia, it's kind of hard to blend in everywhere, you know?
What was Letty in 5? She's
not in 5.
That's right.
She's dead. I think you got to take her in a driver spot, if I'm being honest. That's the thing that she's best at. Again, I would say you could take her in utilities and weapons only because she's in also really good fist fights. So I think those would be like the two most obvious spots for her.
Hmm. Yeah. Who are the other utilities and weapons people? I know that we're going to talk about them, but it's like...
Giselle would be one of them.
Really? She's not... Circuit?
Hobbs. Giselle's the guns person.
It's true.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of... This is a pretty open thing. Don't overthink it. But I think you have to put... You got to take her... Either a fighter or a driver. Because that's what Letty does.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm taking Letty in the driver. I know you love her.
I do. We love Letty. She's great. Yeah.
Michelle Rodriguez is just
I'm really awesome. Sad because I wanted her quite badly.
I can't split up Dom and Letty.
No, you shouldn't. I'm gonna take Han and Chameleon then.
Okay, that's the next smart move.
Yeah, fuck you.
It's the next smart move.
He's great. Chameleon, there's a couple of different people that I think you could put in there, but since he's on the board, I gotta take him. We love our guy Han. Yeah, so
Han's great.
I'm gonna take Han.
Yeah. I'm taking Luke Hobbs.
Yep.
The question is where, and yeah. I think that you said utilities and weapons, but I also think he's kind of demo.
Yep.
So I might go ahead and put him in demo.
Okay.
I'm gonna go take Hobbs.
He's your demo. I mean, he drives that truck through walls constantly, so I think that's fair for demolition.
Drives a tank at one point. Yeah.
Yeah.
He literally carries someone through a wall at some point. Yeah. No. What more needs to be said about the Rock's
Luke Hobbs? Yeah. Tell me about Luke Hobbs.
And he's great. He's hilarious. Banter. I think it's also fun to have Hobbs and Dom on the same team here.
Yes, I think you're gonna have a little bit of locker room cancer going on.
A little bit of chemistry.
Yeah. I have Shaw and Han, and he killed him. So I don't know. Things are gonna get weird. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's my pick. I think Luke Hobbs is hilarious. Not utilized nearly enough, but he's great in 5, 6, and 7. Daddy's got to go to work. Daddy has got to go to work.
Okay. Tell me, so I'm going to take this person next, but you can tell me if you think that this is a bit of a stretch. But Fast Talker, in the movie Fast Five, he says it's someone who can bullshit their way out of anything. So this is somebody that's good at deferring situations.
Like Roman Pierce.
I don't want Roman, that's not who I'm drafting.
I know.
But like Roman Pierce. Can I put Giselle in Fast Talker? Because she coerces Reyes into slapping her ass and getting a handprint.
What slots do you have open?
If I can't have her in Fast Talker, I'm gonna take her in Precision Driver. Cause she works that bike.
I mean, we kind of make the rules, so
yeah.
If you want to put her there, I'm not gonna fight you.
Good. All right. Thanks for not fighting me. I'm taking Giselle. So I got Han and Giselle. So I got the fucking dream couple besides Dom and Letty. Okay. IMO. I guess Brian and Mia, but I don't know where I would put Mia. Demolition, because she crushes me. Yeah, so I'll take Giselle. Gal Gadot.
Mia could be a chameleon, too. I think chameleon might kind of be like a wild card.
Yes. Slot. Yes.
Because it's like almost all these people could blend in if they really wanted to, except for maybe.
Except for Hobbs and Dom, because everyone knows who they are.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay. Right,
back to you.
Back to me. I'm going to take... this is a bold one here. This is a bold one. Hold on to your balls. I'm taking Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
I'm taking Dante.
Reyes. I'm honestly surprised you didn't take him sooner. I figured you might go this way, but I like that.
Yeah. I thought he gives a wild performance. I think he's easily the best villain.
And now that Shaw and or Deckard Shaw specifically and Dante are off the board, villain gets a little scarce for me. I have one that I think is pretty good, but. We'll see.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But I mean, I don't know what else needs to be said about Dante. It was really cool. I like that they brought him in terms of like he has a history with the family.
Yeah.
Historic villain. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, the villain category is scarce. That's why I kind of wanted to take him early. So I'm pretty happy with my team so far.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, right.
I don't really know. There's a couple that I want still. I think I'm going to take Jacob Toretto in my second precision driver spot, particularly after X. I had a much more fun time with him. We talked about that on our pod. I also just think having John Cena at my barbecue with Paul Walker, Song Kang, Gal Gadot, and Jason Statham sounds like a good fucking
time. Like a fun time, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm gonna take Jacob Toretto in my other precision driver. So essentially, I got O'Connor and a Toretto, just not the one you want.
Just not.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Lord.
Yeah. So just so you know where we're standing, I have Circuits, Demolition, and Villain left.
I have Chameleon, Fast Talker, Circuits, and Utilities, and Weapon.
Yeah. A lot of big characters left still, too, which is fun. Do it.
Do it.
You know you need him.
Only my friends call me Rome. That's actually not where I was going with it.
Okay.
That's not where I was going with it. I'm actually going to take...
Take Cypher.
No, I already took a villain. Well, she would technically be Circuits.
Yeah. You taking Brie Larson?
No, not even a prayer.
Taking Braga.
Braga. I'm taking Sean.
Sean Boswell?
Yeah, I'm in taking what? Lucas Black. I think I might take him as Chameleon.
He can't bullshit his way out of everything. Come on.
He goes to Indonesia and is like, gosh.
I don't think he could be the Chameleon. I like that you want
him. Then, okay, so then I guess I'm taking him as utilities and weapons because he does turn into a car guy. Or he could also be Circuits.
He made a spaceship and he flew a plane. I think utilities and weapons is fine.
Okay, so I was going to.
My dark horse pick for him, if he was available later, was I was going to take him for demolition because everything he gets in crashes or blows up. True. So that's a good pick, though.
He loves the drift. I love Lucas Black. I think he's hilarious.
I'm going to go ahead and get this filled out because there's not a whole lot of characters that you could fit in here, but I'm going to take Ramsey in Circuits.
Wow. Okay.
Creator of the God's Eye. Just, you know, in case you haven't heard of that before. Obviously, there's a couple people that are still on the board that we need to get at some point. But yeah, I'm going to take Ramsey for Circuits.
Okay.
Plus, I need more ladies on my team.
Yeah, it's kind otherwise, of a sausage party over here.
Otherwise, it's just Gal Gadot and all these dudes.
Yeah, I would love to take Mia, but I just can't put her anywhere here. Yeah, I know. In Circuits. Like,
yeah.
Who else is it? Circuit? Could I take...
Tej.
Tej, but yeah, I do feel bad that I don't have any ladies on my squad here.
Take Cypher. She's still there.
Oh, man.
Good morning, sunshine.
To be fair, I like Cypher now in this movie.
I know so you do. I think it'd be hilarious.
Okay, so I'm between Cypher to add some more... Yeah, I'm between Cypher to add some shit to the team. She's part of the family now, right? She's hanging out with Michelle... Spoilers.
We don't know. We don't know. She might be. I say she hasn't been the main villain for two movies.
So technically.
I'm fine if you want to take her in Circuits, because I ain't touching that shit.
I'm taking her. I'm taking Cypher in Circuits.
Okay.
Get a lady on my team.
Demolition and villain is what I have left. I don't really know what I want for demo, so I'm going to postpone that for now. I'm taking Idris Elba. In villain. I'm taking Black Superman.
Black Superman.
What's his character's name again? I don't remember.
It's like Duncan Idaho or something.
Duncan Idaho. Yeah, I'm going to take Idris. My dark horse pick for this was going to be DK, but I like Idris.
Brixton,
that's right. He's cool. I think he's a great villain in the franchise. RIP.
Oh, I fucked up. I fucked up so hard.
Why?
Because I forgot about Helen Mirren. But she could be a fast talker.
She could have been. So could Mr. Nobody. I saved you.
You just saved me. You're welcome. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm taking Mr. Nobody.
Yeah.
Fast talker.
If you wouldn't let me take Giselle, that's where I was gonna put Mr. Nobody. So all right.
Bummer that he's not in 10.
He'll be back.
He'll be back. They're all going
to
be back.
It had to be a scheduling conflict or something.
Because what's Kurt
Russell
doing? What
else would he
right
be
now?
Doing?
Yeah, what's exactly. he doing right now?
So I only have Demolition left, which is just, by the definition of Demolition, it's just somebody that breaks stuff a lot and can cause a lot of chaos. There's so many choices. I think I'm just going to take Rome. I'm going to take Roman Pierce. I'm going to get the two fast crew back together with Brian and Rome. So I'm going to take Roman.
Nice.
Yep.
I think that's a solid pick.
My friends call me Rome. I actually do like Tyrese a lot too. So
yeah, no, Tyrese is great.
I'm pretty happy with my family. All right, who you got? What's your last pick?
My last pick is Chameleon, so I can't kind of my free space. I mean, except for...
You need someone who can blend in anywhere. You could do Helen Mirren.
I don't know. I kind of... Could I take Tej?
Yeah,
as Chameleon.
I think he could blend in anywhere.
Because besides him, it's like me. I would love to have Mia on my team.
Mia can blend in anywhere.
Then I might take Mia.
Yeah. Let's get Mia in here. Pivotal character of the franchise.
Yeah.
We're leaving Luda off the board, which is kind of sad, but...
Yeah, that's the problem, is that I really want both of them.
You could put him in Circuits and kick Cypher out of this fucking bitch, and then take Mia and Camille.
Yeah, so here's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm taking Mia as my chameleon.
Yep.
And then as draft rules state, after the draft is finished, I drop Cypher to the waiver wire.
Yeah, and pick up a free agent.
And I pick up the free agent, which is Tez.
There you go. I like it.
So that's my team. So do you want to go through yours first?
Yeah, I'll go first. So my two precision drivers are Brian O'Connor and Jacob Toretto. My chameleon is Han. My fast talker is Giselle. My circuits is Ramsey. My demolition is Roman Pierce. Utilities and weapons, Deckard Shaw, and villain, Brixton.
It's a good team.
I like it a lot.
It's a good team.
I think that barbecue is going to be fucking fire.
My barbecue is going to be
less fun. When Black Superman shows up and kills everybody.
My barbecue is going to be less fun, but hey, it's going to be a good team. So I got Dom and Letty as my drivers.
That's great, honestly.
Yeah, so good.
Hey, Mia, ride or die, man.
Family. Mia as my chameleon. So we got the Toretto siblings.
Except for Jacob. Everyone forgets Jacob.
Mr. Nobody with Fast Talker.
That's a good pick.
Then, again, like we stated, Cypher was my circuits, but she's going to the waiver wire after the draft, and I'm picking up Tej.
Mm-hmm.
Demolition is Luke Hobbs.
Yep.
My utilities and weapons is Sean Boswell from from Tokyo Drift. And then my villain is Dante Reyes.
That's Jason a weird Momoa. Barbecue, man. That's
good. Everyone's sitting around the table. They're like,
it's super tense. You have fucking Dante who wants to secretly kill Hobbs and Dom sitting at the table. Yeah. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Fun things. All right. Cool.
All righty. Fast draft.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening to this great episode of Radiovania.
Yeah. I had fun.
Had fun too. Check out the Fast 10 review. By the time you're listening to this, that has been posted. So check that out. Thank you again, Julia, for writing in. If you want to write into the show, you can. RadiovaniaShow@gmail.com. You can follow us at Radiovania.com. And tweet us at Radiovania, at Zach Cotello, at Najathan Parker. Hang out. We love it. We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening, supporting the show. John, give me a fast and furious quote to end this episode.
I didn't even have to put ketchup on it.